Welcome to Coping with Jesus, a podcast by women, for women, brought to you by St. Walter Catholic Church in Roselle, Illinois, in the Diocese of Joliet. My name is Donna Burke. I'm going to be your host, and I am the discipleship coordinator for St. Walter's. We bring you this podcast out of a need for many people in our parish and elsewhere that are having difficulty juggling and managing during these unusual times, as we always do, but it's a little bit different, especially over these past 7 months of the pandemic. So we hope these conversations will bring you, that we present to you over the next few weeks or months, will be beneficial as we share our means of coping using Jesus as a model, and we use scripture as our guide. So before I introduce our guest today, let me just remind you that it is 2020 and we are in the middle of a pandemic. And last week we presented this podcast behind a plexiglass screen. This week, we're presenting our podcast via the Zoom media, and who knows what next week will bring. So stay tuned, and we'll cope with whatever it is. So Lisa Mann is our guest today, and we welcome you, Lisa. And how are you doing today? How's today?
I'm doing well. We've got a good sunny day. Anticipating the rain the rest of the week, but for part of the week, but hopefully the sun will come back out, and it's good to be here.
Positive attitude, yes. Good sunny day. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know some things, but can you tell us everybody else about yourself?
Well, again, I'm Lisa Mann. I am 52. I've been a parishioner for the last 13 years. I am an unemployed, hopefully temporarily stay-at-home mom, but I was a full-time working mom until March of last year. I've been married 27 and a half years now on top of that, so things are going pretty well there, and my daughter just started virtual college this fall. So we've had a few things to juggle in the last year and a half.
Virtual college, yes. Mm-hmm. So all of that happening now, this fall. Can you think back, Lisa, to 7 months ago in March? Now, for me, it was March 13th. I know exactly where I was. Kind of like, it's just one of those things that you know where you were at that time and what you were doing. At least I do. Can you think back to yourself and what was it like for you? What was life like at the time that all of this started?
A lot of it was very ambiguous and concerning because, you know, none of us have had any kind of background in dealing with pandemics. That's not something I'd ever be able to include on a resume, at least at that point. Now I could. But what was interesting in March of 2020 was how much you just had to look at the unknown and say, okay, it is what it is. This is what we have. And somehow, Jesus, you got to give me the strength to get through it, because I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. And on top of that, Barbara, our daughter, she was a senior in high school. So everything, it was like everything that a record was playing and you pulled the needle across the LP and everything came to a grinding halt. And now what? And there were no answers with now what. I will say that probably one of the things that did help me cope when this started was that I had lost my job the prior year, and I already had to deal with the rug being pulled out of me from out from under me for that. When the rug's pulled out from under you, and it's unexpected, you have to take a step back and figure out what is most important to me. And the first thing that came to mind besides family was faith. So you had to look at it as, what do I need to do that's working well to continue to cope successfully? And so all of the lessons I learned from 2019 and losing my job, I was able to be fully present for my family in March. And I don't think I would have been as well equipped, honestly, if I wouldn't have gone through the prior year.
So amazing how sometimes God has things in place and we have no idea why. It's just like that for you, that made it easier, because maybe God knows that you needed to have some prior experience or whatever. So that's an unusual story that not everybody has. Your perspective will be very helpful for some of our discussions. So right at that time when all of this changed, what changed in your family, like life? Did you have to, you know, all of a sudden everybody has to stay home? What, did your husband stay home? You had Barbara at home?
Well, Barbara had to stay at home. Fortunately, it was close enough to spring break where they got a little more of an extended time to be at home. For my husband, because he's considered an essential worker, he's an IT manager at a hospital. So even though he's not medical staff, you know, the doctors and nurses and all the medical team do need those computers running. So he was considered essential. So his day-to-day really didn't change that much. It was my daughter's and mine. And it's okay. I learned really quick. Get that routine going, get up in the morning, say a quick prayer, ask for strength, and then see what else needed to be done. Because honestly, you know, it was sometimes it was take it hour by hour, and sometimes it was just day by day, and just put one foot forward and, you know, get into a routine, you know, even if that's make your cup of coffee, sit down, look at the mass reading, take a breath, you know, dial into Father's podcast and see what good news he's going to have, because he always had a smile on his face. You know, so I didn't expect any different in March when he was going to continue the podcast then. The one thing that stands out to me about that weekend, though, when we shut down, was attending Mass virtually the first time. That was tough. Yes. That was really tough.
Very difficult, very mm-hmm. much. Mm-hmm. So many people were startled by that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, you know, in my age, like, who would have ever thought that church would be closed down? I mean, like, never could imagine Mass being canceled. But you mentioned starting your day with a prayer. So that leads me to that first habit of Jesus that we are focusing on for a couple weeks here. This is a habit that we're learning from Scripture, where Jesus woke up early and started his day with God. And I'm going to read that short little Scripture passage from Mark, just to kind of put everybody on the same thoughts and imagining how Jesus handled this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And that's from Mark 1, verse 35. And to me, it just amazes me that Jesus needed God to start. I mean, Jesus is God, but Jesus needed to talk to his Father to begin his day. So wake up early and start your day with God. Sounds like you said, you started with a prayer. Can you identify a little bit more with this habit of Jesus?
Well, I started with the daily Mass readings and a prayer, and I decided to add a few novenas as well, because I thought, you know, what could a little more prayer hurt? especially with all of the news going on, you know, you're dealing with social media, you're dealing with multiple opinions coming at you, and you had to just take a look at everything and get really selective. And in the probably besides adding the prayer, I subtracted looking at the news first thing in the morning. That was really helpful. I could deal with the news after a couple of cups of coffee, and praying and spending some time in scripture, and listening to Father's podcast. And I added daily mass in from time to time too. It wasn't a regular thing for me, because in prior years I had worked full time, but now that I had a little more time, it's like let's rotate some mass time in. Thank God we had the technology to do that. I think the one thing I remember most would be the responsorial psalms that we would get, because I tend to remember two messages when it comes to the psalms when I'm reading and praying, and it's either praise God or help me. That seems to be the two that I was remembering the most from that march. And the novena I had added in that I had used some in 2019, but I came back to it, was a surrender novena, which is, oh Jesus, you know, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. And it's tough to say when you're not in the habit of saying it, but it's like the rug's pulled out from everybody. You know, I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for my husband, I'm praying for my daughter, I'm praying for my church. It's, you know, what else have you got at that point? And it gets me choked up talking about it, but I think that's a good thing, because my God, where are we going to be without Jesus? You know?
Yes. So. Yes. I think it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. It's an emotional relationship that we have with Jesus. It's, and you sound like you're quite tight. You have a relationship in place. And it's like getting that hug from your daddy or your mm-hmm. brother or your friend. And, but your story is so important, because many of us, many people, got very busy ordering things and taking care of what were they going to need for this shelter in, and what was the future going to be. But sounds like you thought, let me take out the news and add in prayer, because the news is going to be there. Prayer mm-hmm. can help you through. Is that just really sounds like that's what helped you through?
That did help. Don't get me wrong. And my daughter would tell me, you better be honest about this. I did shop. I'm not going to lie before God and everybody today on this podcast. I did shop. But it was, we targeted various things for the house. And we started organizing the house a little more. And I have mild anxiety as it is. Putting that little project in place on what could we do to order some things to tidy up helped. And Barbara jumped in with that too. I think that helped her as well, even though she wasn't planning on getting involved in it initially.
But, you know, did it kind of set your priorities too? Like, what's important? What things do I need to shop for? Mm-hmm. I think that was helpful.
Yes, you figure out real quickly that you don't really need another pair of shoes, unless you've worn out like your favorite pair of sneakers. You need to make sure that you have like milk and eggs and bread. You need to make sure that you can make somebody their favorite meal, and maybe have an extra bag of chocolate chips to whip up some cookies or banana bread or something. Thing like that.
It's funny you mention that, because with working as much as I do, I don't get to bake the way mm-hmm. I used to. And that was one of the first changes that happened within those 2 months. Like once a week I bake something. I was only two of us in the house, so it took us a while to eat it. But, you know, bake a favorite cake that I used to make, or a favorite treat. So that was kind of a feel good thing. Also a change, that a positive change that came from all the negative. Yes, so feeling good. So I like your analogy. I want to get back to that analogy of the needle scraping across the LP when all of this happened, you know, like just kind of scratching out what was. Can you elaborate a little bit more on your feeling of that?
It was it was almost like you were on a treadmill or a hamster wheel. And we got into that routine of, okay, every day we're doing this. And, you know, in our house, you know, work and school and me taking care of some things around the house and, you know, running errands and this, that, and the other. And then, whoop, done. You're staying put. Okay. Now it turned into you have a little more free time. How are you going to spend it? And I will say it really helped me reconnect with my husband and my daughter. And I had already gotten some of that time being unemployed, but you know, when she was trying to make sense of, well, what's going to happen with prom? What's going to happen with graduation? We've got finals. We've got to, you know, do this, you know, this and that. And we had all these things planned out. And now what, Mom? And it's like, well, now we got to wait and see. And, you know, the answer might come back is no. And we're just going to have to deal with the no, if that's what it turns out to be. And if it changes, then we'll be pleasantly surprised. And that was tough because, you know, I didn't experience that with my high school, but she did. And it was tough for her at first, but I think, you know, one of the conversations we had within probably a week or two after March 13th, she's like, I didn't realize how fast everything was going until we had to stop. And I said, you kind of got what I had with my teenage years, because we didn't have as much to do. I mean, there were still things to do, but it wasn't quite as hamster wheel crazy, I'll call it, as her schedule was. And she still had built-in downtime, but to go from, you know, 100% to zero in regards to running around was a big shock. And what I really think helped was just, you know, extra hugs. You know, she knew I was praying for her, and my husband knew I was praying for him, and we were praying for each other. I think just getting to that point of just more positive reinforcement helped.
I love the way you said more hugs. And you equated that to the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gave more hugs and prayers. The prayers were the piece of the hug. And, you know, I've always believed in my life that from bad things, good things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And right there in the beginning for you, you know, a beginning for many people, I think, it was terrible. We couldn't understand it. It was bad. It seemed awful. But we were having more family time. We were having more mm-hmm. prayer. We were turning to God more. There was so many, they're still way back even there, and even now 7 months later, which we'll get to another week, but way back then, even right away, some positive things began to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And trusting God and turning to prayer certainly was a big piece of that. So I think that we can move on later, because you've agreed to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will be moving on to some other techniques that we used along the way. And of course, sometimes we'll go backwards and look a little bit at how the past, how you coped with the past in order to get to the present. So we can do that as we move forward. So I'd like to just wrap up a little bit, a couple of things you said. First of all, how important your family ties and your relationship with your family and God was to you. And the Psalms, I love the way you talked about the Psalms and what they spoke to you. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about the very beginning before we close with a little prayer?
I think just for me personally, you know, anytime I started feeling anxious, it was a reminder to take a breath and say, you know, God's going to see me through this. It reminded me of one of the first scripture verses I learned as a child, which was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the nice thing about remembering that verse is I seem to have that pop up every day for a while in March. I think that was my go-to verse. And just over and over, you know, God said, I can do all things. And, you know, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And just remembering that I'm going to have the strength to get through it was key. And that it was going to constantly get replenished. And that really helped. And it brought a lot of comfort because there were just days where it's like, where are we going? Yeah, Jesus, where are we going?
We didn't talk about that, but there were those fearful days when mm-hmm. we didn't know if you wanted to wake up because it was another one of those same days of fear and numbers. And we can talk about that more at another time. So let's close with a prayer, Lisa. Jesus, we thank you for calling us to this conversation today. We praise you and thank you for being our model and our friend. Thank you for Lisa, who shared some of her personal life with us today, and for the insights and the faith that she demonstrated through her witnessing. We praise you, God. We ask for your help as we move forward, and we constantly remember that we can do all things with you. In your sweet name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lisa, for being with us. Thank you to everybody for being with us and sharing this conversation with us. And we hope to see you next week. God bless.